25 facts about heaven that many do not know. Fact 25, the three heavens. When the word heaven is used in the Bible without a symbolic connotation, it generally refers to one of three realms. We learn that the Bible mentions multiple heavens. First heaven, the atmospheric heaven. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven. It includes the air we breathe and the space around the earth. This is the immediate domain surrounding our planet, where weather phenomena occur and where birds fly. The Bible mentions this heaven in passages like Isaiah 55:10-11, which says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The existence of this first heaven is essential for life on earth. It not only provides us with the air we breathe, but also regulates the climate and protects the planet from space hazards. The atmosphere acts as a shield, preventing meteors and other space debris from hitting the Earth's surface with full force. Second heaven, the celestial heaven. The second heaven is commonly known as the stellar heaven, which encompasses the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is the vast universe we observe at night, filled with celestial bodies. The Bible also warns against worshiping celestial bodies, as seen in Deuteronomy 4:19, which says, "And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage." The immensity of the second heaven reminds us of the grandeur and majesty of God. King David expressed this wonder in Psalm 19:1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Each star, each planet, and each galaxy are witnesses to God's creative work. Third heaven, God's heaven. The third heaven is the dwelling place of God. Scripture affirms that heaven is the specific place where God resides, as explained in Hebrews 8:1. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. This is the heaven mentioned by Jesus when he promised to prepare a place for us. In John 14:2-3, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This promise gives us the hope of one day being in the presence of God, in a place of peace and perfection. Fact 24, heaven is a real and tangible place. In John 14, Jesus informs his disciples of his intention to prepare a place for them. This place would not be a mere mental state or concept, but a real location intended for those who have a personal relationship with God. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:2-3. Here, Jesus uses the word place three times to emphasize that heaven is a concrete and real location. The importance of Jesus referring to heaven as a tangible place is significant. In a world where many philosophies consider the afterlife as a mere abstraction, the Bible presents heaven as a concrete reality. This certainty comforts us and gives us hope, especially in times of difficulty and uncertainty. Additionally, Jesus' description of heaven as a place with many mansions reflects the Jewish culture of the time. In Jewish families, when a son got married, the father would extend his house to include a new space for the couple. This analogy reinforces the idea that God prepares a personal and welcoming home for each of us. Fact 23, the man who heard heaven. Paul, one of the apostles, shares visions and revelations from the Lord in 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. This account gives us a glimpse of what Paul heard in the third heaven, also referred to as paradise. Paul's account is deeply mysterious. He admits not knowing whether he was taken to heaven in body or spirit, underscoring the transcendent nature of the experience. This teaches us about the immensity and inscrutability of God's ways. The apostle also emphasizes the holiness and reverence due to divine revelations, referring to inexpressible words that it is not lawful for man to utter. This experience reminds us of God's holiness and the reverence we must have when approaching Him. Fact 22. John sees the third heaven. While Paul heard the third heaven, John, in Revelation, is granted a vision of what happens there. In Revelation 4:1-3, he describes, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald." John's vision is rich in symbolism and majesty. The throne at the center of the vision symbolizes God's authority and sovereignty over all creation. The precious stones and the rainbow around the throne highlight God's glory and holiness. This vision gives us a glimpse of the splendor and greatness of God's presence, a reminder of our ultimate destiny as believers. Fact 21, the elders in heaven. In Revelation 4:4, we find the description of the 24 elders. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. These elders are considered mature spiritual rulers, possibly representing the fullness of God's people. The 24 elders wear white robes, symbolizing the purity and righteousness they have received from Christ. The golden crowns on their heads indicate spiritual victory and authority. These elders are constantly in worship, casting their crowns before God's throne in an act of total surrender and reverence, Revelation 4:10-11. This teaches us about the importance of worshiping God with our whole being and acknowledging His sovereignty in all things. Fact 20. The four living creatures in heaven. Ezekiel describes the four living creatures in Ezekiel 1:5-9. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings, on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. These creatures are presented as real and exalted beings, close to God's throne. The description of these creatures highlights their complexity and their proximity to the divine presence. They have multiple faces, representing the fullness of creation and the multifaceted nature of God. Their wings and movements indicate readiness and obedience in serving God. These creatures, also mentioned in Revelation, participate in the continuous worship of God, proclaiming His holiness and majesty, Revelation 4:8. Fact 19. What angels do in heaven. Many people have misconceptions about angels and their roles in heaven. Angels worship and serve God, carrying out His orders and protecting Christians. They are mentioned in Psalm 148:2. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Additionally, angels rejoice when a sinner repents, as described in Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say to you, There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Angels also play important roles in carrying out God's plans. They are sent to minister to the saints, protect God's servants, and fulfill divine missions. Hebrews 1:14. They were present at crucial moments in the history of salvation, such as announcing the birth of Jesus, Luke 1:26-38, and strengthening Jesus in Gethsemane, Luke 22:43. Angels also have a role in spiritual warfare. They fight against the forces of evil and protect believers from spiritual attacks. In Daniel 10, we read about an angel who was sent to help Daniel but was delayed by a spiritual battle with the prince of Persia. This shows us that angels are actively involved in the spiritual war happening around us. Angels are models of obedience and worship for us. Their total devotion to God inspires us to seek a life of worship and service. Like them, we are called to glorify God in everything we do, knowing that our worship pleases the Lord and has an eternal impact. These facts about heaven help us better understand the spiritual reality that awaits us. They remind us of God's grandeur, the promise of an eternal home with Him, and the ongoing spiritual battle around us. As we delve into these truths, we are called to live with a heavenly perspective, focusing our lives on worship and service to God. May we find comfort and hope in God's promises about heaven, knowing that one day we will be in His presence, enjoying the fullness of His glory and love. And until then, may our lives be a reflection of that hope, testifying to the world of the goodness and greatness of our God. Fact 18. There will be no sorrow in heaven. Heaven will be wonderful because many things that cause us pain and suffering here on earth will be absent. Nowhere in this world can we escape the grip of death. The truth is that we are all terminal. The mortality rate in any community is 100%. None of us is exempt, and none of us will escape this fact. What makes heaven so distinct is that it has not been tainted by sin. God's glory permeates heaven and makes it perfect. God created the earth and gave it to the human race to care for and enjoy. However, instead of obeying God's instructions, Adam and Eve decided to listen to Satan and disobey. This disobedience brought sin and death into the world, but in heaven, these things do not exist. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Fact 17. What is the throne room of heaven like? Vivid colors are used to describe the throne room and the one seated on the throne. There is not only a rainbow around the throne, but also 24 thrones around it. The throne and the person sitting on it are depicted as very active. The Lord is not dozing on the throne. There is movement, and the reader is prepared for the outpouring of God's wrath. Lightning, thunder, and voices in Revelation 8:5 represent God's judgments being sent from His throne. This language also reminds us of the thunder and lightning on Mount Sinai when God visited Moses. John is not the only man in God's Word to witness this. Ezekiel also had a similar vision of God's glory, and both accounts highlight God's majesty and power. Fact 16. The most mysterious angel in heaven, the Ophanim. Ophanim is the ancient Hebrew word for wheels. They are mentioned in Ezekiel 1:15-21. God chooses to open the heavens before Ezekiel's temporal eyes. It is hard to imagine what Ezekiel saw or described. God's throne is carried on something that looks like a majestic chariot on four wheels. The scene creates the impression of constant movement and activity, both of the living beings and the throne on which God is seated. The wheels and their mechanisms could turn in any direction without becoming disorganized. Ezekiel describes these wheels in some detail, mentioning that they were full of eyes around, symbolizing God's omniscience and vigilance. Fact 15. The war in heaven. Angels who deserted heaven are called fallen angels in the Bible. What happened? Why did they abandon their rightful territory? In Revelation 12:7-8, we read about the great rebellion in heaven. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. The dragon, also known as the devil and Satan, fought against Michael, the archangel, and God's angels, but was defeated. This rebellion teaches us about the seriousness of sin and God's justice. Even in heaven, disobedience to God is not tolerated, and the rebellious angels were expelled. Fact 14. What will our bodies be like in heaven? Have you ever thought about what your body will be like in eternity? Our current bodies will be buried after our death, and after many years, no distinguishable features will remain. Then we will be resurrected from the dead. Will it be the same body we have now? Scripture provides us with some important clues. In 1 Corinthians 15:50-53, we read, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." The resurrection will transform us into an incorruptible and immortal reality. We will have a resurrection body like Jesus, who defeated death. This body will not be subject to original sin and bodily decay, and it will be able to live forever. Paul provides four contrasts between our current bodies and our resurrection bodies: corruption versus incorruption, dishonor versus glory, weakness versus power, natural versus spiritual. Seeing Jesus' resurrection body gives us an idea of what to expect: a material body that can eat but is not limited by the laws of nature. Fact 13. Jacob's ladder. The story of Jacob's ladder has fascinated people for many years. The expression "Jacob's ladder" has become a common phrase, used as the title of movies, books, flowers, and even electronic devices. But where did this phrase come from? In Genesis 28:11-12, we read, "So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." The ladder, actually more like a staircase, symbolizes the connection between heaven and earth. The angels ascending and descending show the continuous communication between God and men. When Jacob woke up, he promised God a tenth of everything he possessed. In his interaction with Nathanael, Jesus made an apparent reference to this incident, showing that he is the true connection between heaven and earth. John 1:49-51. Fact 12. How many angels are in heaven? One of the most frequent questions is how many angels exist. In the book of Hebrews, we read about an innumerable company of angels in heaven. "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Hebrews 12:22. Other translations of the Bible use terms like "countless" and "myriads" to describe this great multitude of angels. Revelation continues saying that the angels surround the throne, all the living creatures, and the elders. While the Bible does not specify the exact number of angels, some believe there are as many as there have been human beings throughout history. This theory is based on Matthew 18:10, where Jesus mentions that children's angels always see the face of his Father in heaven. David documents thousands of angels in Psalm 68:17. "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place." Fact 11. What right do you have to enter heaven? Every man and woman who has ever existed will have to answer this question. What is your right to enter heaven? Only one answer gives a person the sure privilege and joy of entering heaven: "Because I believed in Jesus Christ and accepted him as my Savior." He is the one who sits at the right hand of God and intercedes for us, What a wonderful concept. Jesus acts as our intercessor and advocate, presenting our case to God the Father and affirming that entry into heaven is granted only by God's grace, not based on any deeds or actions performed on earth. Fact 10. God the Father is there and Jesus is at his right hand. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." After being crucified and resurrected, Jesus ascended back to heaven and now intercedes for us at the right hand of God. When Stephen was stoned in Acts 7, the Bible says that he saw the heavens opened and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Fact 9. All believers are there. According to the author of Hebrews, the names of all believers are written in heaven. Hebrews 12:23 says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." Fact 8. There will be people from all nations in heaven. People from all nations have responded to the gospel and have a position in heaven because of Jesus' sinless sacrifice on the cross. Revelation 5:9-10 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Fact 7. Our names are registered. There. In Luke 10, something very interesting happens. 72 followers of Jesus are sent out in pairs to the surrounding towns and villages. They were tasked with healing the sick and spreading the gospel of Jesus. The Bible says that when the 72 returned, they were full of joy and exclaimed, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Luke 10:20. Fact 6. We have an inheritance there. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Fact 5. Our citizenship is there. In Philippians 3:20, the Apostle Paul says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." An old song says, "This world is not my home," and that is absolutely true. According to the Bible, we are pilgrims and nomads passing through this land known as earth. This is a reminder to not place our hope and focus on earthly things, but on heavenly ones. Fact 4. Specific eternal rewards are given there. Jesus offered wise advice and a strong challenge in Matthew 6:19-21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Fact 3. It's the best of earth, only better. The world we live in today is an old fallen earth, but there is a new heaven and a new earth that are as real, physical, and tangible as this earth, but will be incredibly better. They will not be damaged by sin and disease, nor by pollution and disaster. Fact 2. The alternative to heaven, hell. A controversial subject, but the Bible teaches that there is a hell for those who intentionally and consciously reject Christ as Lord and Savior. Matthew 13:41-42 says, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Fact 1. Why does no one talk about heaven? As glorious as heaven may be, many Christians do not think much about it. In our culture, we often accept death as the end of life on earth and do not give much attention to eternity. This may be due to our focus on earthly things and the difficulty of imagining eternity.